Good morning, happy Sabbath, and happy New Year. I know for a fact that we all have dreams and goals. Dreams and goals that we would like to see someday, that we would like to live out someday. But these dreams and goals can never be attained, can never be reached if there's no action taken. That's why people resolute to take action. It is in this time of year that most people sit in front of their desk or in their kitchen table to make resolutions to attain those dreams and goals. These resolutions may be goals for living a better life or for growing in areas that they need to grow. Resolutions to improve the quality of life or to grow in areas we need to grow. Resolutions can also be viewed as short-term and long-term goals. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking about reaching our goals through the means of resolutions. And my goal is to persuade you to go home and to write out resolutions. Resolutions to better your life, to improve your spiritual life, to grow in areas that you need to grow. I believe that we are to write out personal resolutions, family resolutions, congregational resolutions. Resolutions are the means that makes us move forward in life. Without them, we navigate aimlessly. People who do not have dreams do not have a reason to live. These people are breathing, but they have no life. Some of these tragically end their lives. Others, but not all, live as outcasts in our society, and we call them homeless. Some of these people are harmless, but some of these can be very dangerous because they have no respect for their lives and no respect for the lives of others. Dreams and goals maintain us active and alive. Some of you may be discouraged from past failed resolutions and you're hesitant to make resolutions this year, to try again. But today I'm going to share with you a victory plan. A victory plan that is guaranteed to succeed. But first, let me impart some words of wisdom. Here it is. When you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Next slide. I'd rather attempt to do something great than to not do anything and succeed. Third one. Here it is. The tragedy of life does not lie in not reaching our goals. The tragedy of life is not having goals to reach for. This last quotation reminds me of the parable of the master who gave his servants talents. To one he gave five, to another one he gave two, and to a third one he gave one talent. The two that received more talents, they made plans for it, and as a result, they got praise from the master and they got promotions from the master. The third one that did not have any plans for his talent he faced a terrible tragedy. Question for you this morning. Are you satisfied with the quality of life that you're living now? Or the achievements that you have attained? Are you willing today to stand before God today and render account of your achievements and say, Lord, I have given everything I've got? Are you willing to face God today and say, you've done your best? It is true. It is true that dreams have a price. All goals have a price. And we must be willing to pay that price and make whatever sacrifice to achieve that dream, to achieve that goal. I think that the parable of the pearl of great price conveys this message. Jesus was our example. He was our great example, and look what he did. No matter what the cost was for our redemption, now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This literally means that he hardened his face, that he resolved with himself to die and therefore venture upon his journey and cast away all fear of death. And he went on, and he glorified his Father, being obedient to the plan of salvation. You may be thinking, but Jesus, see, he had a plan. The Father had told him that what was his plan. No. The Father never told him what the plan was for him. He discovered his plan for his mission reading faithfully, diligently the Scriptures. And brothers and sisters, that's where we also can find our calling. If we read the Scriptures to find our purpose in life. One goal that we all have in common is to reach the pearly gates. However, this goal is costly, and it's going to cost us some sacrifices, denying us of self and enduring the persecution of this world. While Paul and Silas were traveling around Asia Minor, this is what he said to the members of the church back in Asia Minor. He went around, and Silas went around, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, going through the narrow door is not a piece of cake. It's not a walk. How do they say, walk in the park? Cake walk. We have to endure the persecution of this world. Heaven is our ultimate goal. And it may cost us our lives. Here in the U.S., we don't hear of modern-day martyrs who are paying the price for the kingdom of God. However, in other countries, daily, people are losing their properties. People are losing their wealth. People are losing parts of their body, and people are losing their lives for the kingdom of heaven. Sure, we may lose a job. Sure, We may lose our wealth. Sure, we may lose relationships, but it's nothing compared to eternal life. Some of you may be thinking that this business of being Christian is not paying off. You probably ended the year pretty beat up, and I understand that. My family and myself went through hardships and some trials. But because we overcame, now we have victory stories to tell. Another common goal that we have is of achieving something great for God. That's a goal that everybody mostly dreams of. Achieving something great for God, for His glory, for His honor, and to benefit others with whatever our plan is. But you know what? We quickly give in to discouragement because of the opposition or because we look to ourselves and think we don't have what it takes. Brothers and sisters, when we quit pursuing great plans, we dishonor God. We serve a God of dreams, and He has greater plans for us than our own plans. Ellen White wrote in Education, page 18, that he has higher ideals. I don't know where he went, but yes, right here. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for His children. So when we quit a great enterprise, we dishonor God. God expects big things from us. So you students who are in school and are contemplating to become something great for God, there is nothing wrong in thinking big. In fact, God wants us to think big. Ask Ben Carson. He wrote a book titled Think Big. Discouragement is the work of the devil, and he wants to keep us in fear and discourage us so that the work of God cannot be accomplished. Satan does not want us to pursue any goals that will benefit the kingdom of God or that will help you grow in the kingdom of God. I know that during the course of the year, most of us lose momentum or motivation and we go adrift. Our resolutions come to a stop and we become very discouraged. The next year, then we don't want to make resolutions. But that's what the devil wants. He wants us to maintain stagnant or dormant. He keeps us fearful of trying great things or to get ahead. Let's go on to another slide here. Cervantes, the Spanish writer, wrote, "He who loses wealth loses much. He who loses a friend loses more. But he who loses his courage loses everything. Now, I'm going to unveil the guarantee plan for resolutions this year, for achieving your goals. Are you ready? Take note. Here we go. Number one, hit it. Number one, forgetting your past failures and start new. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Number one, forget the past. Start new. Start fresh. Number two, eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't look at yourselves. Don't look at what you can contribute to whatever you think you plan. It's God within you that's going to achieve your plans, that's going to help you get there. Look at yourself in the beauty of Christ. Look at yourself in the strength of God. Look in yourself in the wisdom of God. Look to yourself in the power of God. You can't do it, but God can. It is the power of the Holy Spirit who incinerated the entire old world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't human effort. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that will empower you to achieve great things this year for God. Number three, plan with God. If you're going to make resolutions, count Him in. Don't leave Him out. Number four, plan His way. His way is better. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added on to you. You do God's bidding first. When you sit down and write your resolutions for this year, number one on your list is personal relationship with Christ. Time with God. Before all things, plan His way. And number five, faithfully do the small things while pursuing the great things. Huh? Faithfully do the small things while aiming high. And number six, never give up. Winston Churchill, for those of you who are very, very young, who is Winston Churchill? Well, he was, many years ago, the Prime Minister of Great Britain. In fact, he was one of the greatest Prime Ministers of Great Britain. And early in his life, he had a lot of setbacks. He was not a very good student all through school. When he got to college and he wanted to enter a college, he failed his entrance exams twice. He was told that he was not going to amount to nothing. Later on, he went on to become a great statesman, orator, and motivator to motivate his country in the time of war. One day they invited him to a university to give the commencement speech. And the faculty and the students, the graduating class, thought that they were going to hear a great speech from Winston Churchill. And Churchill got up and gave this speech. Never give up! Never give up! Never give up! He went back to his seat and sat down. Brothers and sisters, I believe this message also can be found in the parable of the widow and the ruthless judge. Jesus there tells us, in the face of difficulty, never give up, never give up, never give up. And last, I leave you with this last verse of the Bible. 2 Chronicles 15, 7 says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your works shall be rewarded. God bless his church and your endeavors this year. That's it. It's over.
So our closing song is hymn number 330, Take My Life and Let It Be. Go ahead and stand.
Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to do everything possible for us to reach higher goals for your glory and your honor. Thank you in Jesus. Amen.